Welcome to a scary week 8 of action. I'm Kyle, the student of the game, and this week is the official Halloween week of the NFL, with Monday night being Halloween and them having a game on Monday night and all that. So it works out on that front, but there were some frightening outcomes that took place during the week. Although, there were many Vikings fans who were scared for the first week's action. We'll go over to the right to my loyal co-hosts Chris and Weasel, as the student of the game brings you the action. Weasel.
Vikings rookie quarterback Christian Ponder got his first win as a starter as the Panthers lost at home to the Vikings 24-21. Ponder was 18 of 28, 64%, 236 yards, one touchdown, no INTs. He was sacked four times and had four scrambles for 4 yards. For the running game, Adrian Peterson had 21 rushes for 86 yards, 4.1 average with a touchdown. Toby Gerhart had 5 for 26, 5.2 average. Percy Harvin had 3 for 16 with a touchdown. In the receiving game, Adrian Peterson led the way, 5 catches for 76 yards with a touchdown. Percy Harvin had 4 for 58. Tight end Bishante Shanko had 3 for 37. Michael Jenkins had 2 for 30. Devin Oromo-Shadu had 2 for 20. For the passing, the Panthers had rookie quarterback Cam Newton, 22 of 35, 62%, 290 yards, 3 touchdowns, no INTs. I believe that was his first 3-touchdown game this season.
Without an interception at the very least.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. He was sacked 3 times but lost 2 fumbles. He had 6 scrambles for 53 yards.
2 fumbles, that's
dual
bad.
Dual threat, though.
Dual threat? Yeah, that's right.
For the running game, Jonathan Stewart had 13 rushes for 49 yards, 3.8 average. D'Angelo Williams had 7 for 26. And Steve Smith had a 12-yard run. Smith also had 7 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. Tight end Greg Olsen had 4 for 73 and a touchdown. Legadu Nani had 5 for 49. Brandon LaFell had a 44-yard reception. Cocky Jeremy Shackey had a 1-yard touchdown reception. Cam Newton and the Panthers got the ball down 3 at their own 24-yard line with 2:43 left in the game. Big play came on a 4th and 15 at their own 35, where the Vikings gave up a 44-yard pass to a wide-open LaFell, who brought them to the Minnesota 21-yard line. A holding call on Steve Smith brought back a good Cam Newton scramble that would have put them within the 10-yard line. Vikings forced the fourth down, and Orlando Moray, former Vikings kicker,
/ Dolphin, / Seahawk.
Yeah.
And just general all-around old guy.
Shanked the 31-yard field goal.
See, it's funny because there's a Viking named beyond Vishante Shanko. Anyways. So, speaking of cheesy puns, would you say that the Vikings are now going to ponder improvement? Something I wanted to put out here real quick is the three of us were all shocked that we were actually going, well, you may not have been, Weasel, but at least two of us were shocked that we were going to pick the Vikings in this game. And I believe Chris and I both stated that the matchup between Jared Allen and Cam Newton would be the outcome. 5 tackles by Jared Allen, 1 sack, which was a forced fumble.
Yeah, he recovered a fumble, too.
Well, snap. Yeah. Okay, well, that'll do it for that game. And apparently Jared Allen may have technically been seen as winning that particular battle in question. But another battle that took place didn't go as predicted. The once winless Rams toppled the New Orleans Saints. I bet a lot of people's hearts stopped when I said once winless for the Rams. But unfortunately, where they lost is in their suck for luck campaign. More on that later. Oh, that's bad. In the passing game, Drew Brees for the Saints, 30 completions for 44 attempts, 68%, 2 touchdowns and 2 INTs. One touchdown and 2 INTs with 219 yards. That one touchdown, however, will keep the streak alive as he's only 1 game away from tying Brett Favre for the consecutive record for games with a passing touchdown by a quarterback. So that's nice, but the Saints are now in the distinction of being a team to win a 62-7 game and then lose in the following week.
To the Rams, too.
To the Rams as well.
Winless.
Well, Rams. You know. And by the way, Drew Brees also lost a fumble. Or no, he didn't. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong thing. I'm looking at A.J. Feely. I was so confused because I'm used to Sam Bradford.
Speaking of old Dolphins players.
I like what you did there, Weasel. Yeah. That was smooth. Yeah. AJ Feely, while losing a fumble, also went 20 for 37, 54% with 175 yards and a touchdown. On the ground for the Saints, Pierre Thomas had 7 carries for 23 yards, 3.2 a carry with a touchdown. Chris Ivory had 6 carries for 18, while Darren Sproles had 6 carries for 16. Steven Jackson, the top rusher for the Rams and a big part of their victory, 25 carries for 159 yards, 6.4 a carry with 2 touchdowns. The main receiving threats for the Saints were Lance Moore with 7 catches for 74 yards to get that touchdown, and Darren Sproles, name coming up again, big in receiving, 6 catches for 60 yards. The newly acquired Brandon Lloyd for the Rams had 6 catches for 53 yards and a touchdown. See, looking at the sack numbers here, both teams created a lot of sacks, 4 for the Saints, 6 by the Rams defense. Not something you normally see. Might have had a little bit to do with why the Rams won the game. In addition to the difference in the game can be the 10 points difference in the game can be accounted to the Saints had one more turnover and a missed field goal. So there's your 10 points that could have been made up right there.
They're both 100% in the red zone.
Both were 100% in the red zone, yes. I think one was 2 for 2, one was for 3 for 3, I believe, something like that.
Yep, 2 for 2 and 3 for 3.
Yeah, so that, but obviously the balanced attack of the Rams, I know that sounds a little confusing, made the difference in the game. And
quarterback controversy.
Wow.
And the Rams.
So are they gonna are they gonna draft Andrew Luck or keep AJ Feely?
They won't because they're
it's not a factor. Exactly. It's not a factor because they won a game. In any case, speaking of teams that are still a factor in the suck for luck campaign, Colts to Titans. Chris?
The Titans blocked a punt in the end zone and led the Colts 20-0 at half, so the Colts still stay alive for the suck for luck campaign as they lost 27-10 to the Tennessee Titans. Curtis Painter's 26 for 49, 53%, 250 yards, no touchdowns. He had 2 INTs. He was sacked twice. For the Titans, Matt Hasselbeck, 23 for 33, 70%, 224 yards, 1 touchdown, no INT. He was sacked once. On the ground, Curtis Painter led all rushers for 7 carries for 79 yards, 11.3 a carry. He did have a long of 24, which is still a 9.2 average.
That's amazing, seriously. I got nothing. Why is Curtis Painter throwing the ball 49 times? I got nothing.
That's a lot.
Thank you, Weasel.
Delwan or Deleon Carter, whatever you want to pronounce it.
Delwan.
9 for 46, 5.1 average. And Donald Brown had 10 for 33, 3.3 average with a touchdown. For the Titans, Javon Ringer, 14 for 60 yards, 4.3 a carry. And Chris Johnson, 14 for 34, 2.4 a carry.
Epic numbers from Chris Johnson.
Yeah, Chris Johnson did have a long of 11, so that's a
1.8. He got paid, though. He got paid.
And wide receiver Nate Washington had 1 carry for 3 yards for a touchdown.
Ooh. Epic.
And through the air for the Colts, Dallas Clark.
Yes, Dallas Clark.
6 for 77. Pierre Garçon, 7 for 66. Uh-huh. Reggie Wayne, 5 for 61. Austin Colley, 5 for 44.
Yeah.
For the Titans, Damian Williams, 4 for 60. Javon Ringer had 5 for 42. Tight end Jerry Cook had 2 for 40. And Nate Washington had 4 for 34 with a touchdown. In this game, the difference right here was the turnovers. Colts had 2. Both of them led to 14 points for the Titans. Also, penalties for the Colts. 10 penalties for 66 yards.
And you make a note of the red zone numbers there, too.
Yeah, red zone, they were one. The Colts were 1 for 4. Titans were 2 for 2. Also, fourth down, the Colts were 0 for 2, but those two came late in the fourth quarter when they're on the 3-yard line trying to go for it to try to score some touchdowns since they were down 27-10 at the time.
So, yeah, that's rough. Divisional game. The Titans actually threatening to do some damage. But within that division, there was another matchup that was important that happens to cross one of our featured teams. The Jacksonville Jaguars faced off against the Houston Texans. Weasel. Go.
The Texans at home beat their division rivals, the Jaguars, 24-14. For the Jags, rookie quarterback Blaine Gabbert was 10 of 30, 33%, 97 yards. With those kind of numbers, tough to win games.
Well, especially when those numbers were worse than Tim Tebow's performance last week. But more on that later.
Yeah. One touchdown, two INTs. He was sacked once and had four scrambles for 14 yards. In the running game, Maurice Jones-Drew, a.k.a. Mojo, had 18 rushes for 63 yards, 3.5 average, with a touchdown. I don't think he fumbled this game. Good for him. In their receiving game, tight end Mercedes Lewis had 4 catches for 45 yards. Mike Thomas had 3 for 24. Jason Hill had a 5-yard touchdown reception. For the Texans, Matt Schaub was 16 of 30, 53%, 225 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs. He was sacked twice and lost a fumble, but he did have a 2-yard scramble for a touchdown.
Yeah.
In the running game, Arian Foster had 33 rushes for 112 yards, 3.4 average with a touchdown. Ben Tate had 5 for 42. I think he did lose a fumble.
He did?
Yeah. In the receiving game, Andre Johnson was out again with a hamstring injury, so then that left Kevin Walter, 5 catches for 70 yards. Tight end Owen Daniels at 4 for 60. Jacoby Jones had 3 for 59. And tight end Joel Dressen had 2 for 19 with a touchdown. Texans got the ball up 7 with 5:15 left in the game at their own 20. On a 3rd and 5 at their own 25-yard line, the Texans got a huge 30-yard gain from tight end Owen Daniels and 7 rushes by Arian Foster for 29 yards that ran down the clock and set up a Rackers 39-yard field goal, which, unlike Orlando Mare, he made
it. See what you did there, because, anyways.
But Rackers does have a history of missing field goals, too. But
he does.
With the Cardinals, yeah.
I see.
But that put the game out of reach for the Jags.
So, yeah, something you mentioned there. last week, Christian Ponder had a 31%, I think, completion percentage, mm-hmm. but managed that amazing 6 for 15 on third down. Not so much here for Blaine Gabbert, 5 for 14, 35% on third down, versus the Texans that went 10 for 17 at 58%. Only 13 first downs by the Jags, whilst the Texans had 20 first downs. So, simply, ball movement was the problem. Well, there was another team that struggled to move the ball earlier on in their game, but kept some hope alive. Chris?
The Dolphins were winning through the fourth quarter when they got word that the Rams were beating the Saints, and they said, well, our chances was improved for the Suck for Luck campaign, as they gave the game away to the Giants, who scored late in the game to win 20-17. For the Finns, Matt Moore, 13 for 22, 59%, 138 yards, no touchdowns, one INT, he was sacked 5 times. For the Giants, Eli Manning, 31 for 45, 69%.
All right.
349 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs, he was sacked once. On the ground, Reggie Bush, 15 carries, 103 yards,
what?
6.9 average.
Exactly, and I saw one where he actually ran up the middle. It was amazing.
6.9. Good thing screwed up by a period. Matt Moore, 5 for 31 with a touchdown, and Steve Slayton at 5 for 7 with a touchdown.
Steve. I believe this was first Steve Slayton's first appearance on the field as a Dolphin, former Texan.
And then the Giants, Ahmad Bradshaw had 13 carries for 50 yards, 3.8 a carry. Through the air, Brandon Marshall led all Dolphins, 4 for 55. Devon Best, 3 for 43. And Reggie Bush had 4 for 17. For the Giants, Victor Cruz had 7 for 99 with the game-winning touchdown. Hakeem Nicks, 6 for 67. Mario Manningham, 6 for 63 with a touchdown. Tight end Jared Ballard had 4 for 55. And Ahmad Bradshaw had 5 for 38. In this game, let's see here. Third downs, Dolphins were 38%. Giants were 50%. Turnovers was the one there, and also red zone. Dolphins were 2 for 2. Giants were 1 for 3.
Yeah, and I believe the Giants had 4 sacks to the Dolphins 1. So I mean, that kind of helped
5-1.
5-1 was it? So yeah. That helped kind of get back into the game.
As a lot of the sacks came late in the fourth quarter, to get the ball back.
Yeah, so that was certainly a factor on that front. So the Giants, I believe, are up in the standings in that division, if I am unless I'm mistaken.
But they are 5-2.
So yeah, I mean, of course we still have. Yeah, we're taping earlier than usual, so we still have the Eagles and Cowboys game, because we're taping this on a Sunday night. My parents wouldn't let me tape on Halloween because they're superstitious.
They'll still be up in the division. Okay. Regardless of that, Dallas is 3-3. The Eagles are 2-4.
Okay, so no matter what.
Dream team.
Dream team.
Wow. Hate a ride. Speaking of a lot of hate going around, you know, all hyping up to the Pats-Steelers matchup, I've heard things along the lines of that the Rooneys never really actually own the Steelers. Like, their ownership of the Steelers is, they aren't the team that, the people who own the Steelers. Allegedly, it was Tom Brady who owns the Steelers, because in the past he's done so well. Yeah, rumors of the Brady ownership of the Steelers, vastly overrated. 25-17, the score of the Steeler triumph.
23, get it right.
Well, more on that later.
Because
someone's bitter. I don't know why. But we'll get to why he's bitter in a minute. Anyways, 24 of 35, 69% for Brady. Oh, right. 198 with two touchdowns. Was that?
No, I was telling him.
Oh, and Ben Roethlisberger went 36 for 50 in the air, two touchdowns. And how many yards did we get out of Mr. Roethlisberger there?
365.
From a Steeler team?
365.
And he had like 360-something last week, I think. I don't remember what he had last week, but it was over 350. Yeah.
They're passing the ball on it.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, that interesting. We call it kind of a shootout. The score doesn't reflect the shootout, but the number of passing downs, 85 of them in the game. More on that later. Kevin Falk on the ground for the Patriots, 6 carries for 32 yards, 5.3 a carry. And Rashad Mendenhall for the Steelers had 13 carries for 70 yards of his own, 5.4 average. Ron Gronkowski of the Patriots had 7 catches for 94 yards. Was the weapon kind of quiet, 6 catches, but only 39 yards. Deion Branch had 4 catches for 36 yards, did score a touchdown. And Aaron Hernandez, 2 catches, 9 yards, managed a touchdown. Heath Miller made a difference in a lot of checkdowns, 7 catches, 85 yards for the Steelers. Emmanuel Sanders also 5 catches, 70 yards. Mike Wallace had 7 catches for 70 yards. Antonio Brown, 9 catches, 67 yards and a touchdown. And Mueldy Moore, 2 catches, 20 yards with a touchdown. So, if we look at the difference in the game, don't know if I mentioned that Roethlisberger had an interception. And it was really the only thing that kept the Patriots in the game in the first half. I think he threw the interception outside of the red zone for once. Unfortunately, it ended up, after everything was said and done in return, pretty much putting the Patriots into their red zone.
It was the 9-yard line.
Okay, so yeah, that's kind of a problem. However, 17-10 at half, the Patriots only managed one more score for the rest of the game. Let's see, going through the rest of the stats here, the big two stats that appear to me, 20 minutes time of possession for the Patriots, almost 40 by the Steelers. So, kind of important there, 73 plays on offense by the Steelers, 47 plays on offense total for the Patriots. The only punt in the game by the Steelers came with less than a minute left. Set up 30 minutes remaining for Tom Brady to try to pull something out of the sky when Brent Keisel, defensive end, finally maneuvered his way through the tackle who was blocking him and batted the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. And here comes Troy Polamalu coming in with all his hair and might. Ah, I'm going to get this. Instead of actually recovering the fumble and ending all the controversy that we have to talk about now, bats the ball down the field a good 20, 30 yards or so, where defensive tackle Ziggy Hood, or defensive end rather, Ziggy Hood was chasing after it, runs and attempts to recover the ball but fails to do so because he's out of bounds. Now, the play was called a safety, which is why Chris was talking about 23 rather than 25. Technically speaking, by NFL rule, it is not. Because the offense has to be the force that has the ball in the end zone. The defense propelled it back. That's a touchback. Now, all that really would have done was given Brady the ball back on the 8 seconds left. Who cares? But, you know. I'm not saying
fantasy football people are going to matter.
I'm just
saying.
That's
2 points for the defense, right?
Okay, right. Great. Fantasy, stop being right. That guy.
Yeah.
Fantasy.
Well, here's what I thought might matter a little more to the Patriots is 2.5 minutes more in the time of play. It was, if I can get the situation here in my notes, 4 minutes, 15 minutes left in the fourth quarter. 2nd and 9 in the red zone on the 9-yard line. Pass thrown to Ron Gronkowski. Catches the ball right on the goal line and is hit out. The officials said he was on the one. Oops. The Patriots don't even try to challenge. They just race to the line and go to work. Two more plays later, they attempt a pass over to Ron Gronkowski again. Defensive holding, automatic first down. Next play, Aaron Hernandez scores the touchdown that we mentioned earlier. That touchdown occurred with 2 minutes and 40 seconds left in the game. It's about 2.5 minutes difference from the initial play. 4:15 to 2. Check that, a minute and a half, not 2.5. 4:15 to 2:40. That minute and a half would have been pretty crucial for Tom Brady at the end of that game.
He would have liked more time.
Thank you, Weasel. That's a good point.
And the Patriots had all three timeouts at that point.
They did. I have all three timeouts at that point. That's actually not really obvious. That's actually kind of a good point. Another thing for the Steelers that's kind of disappointing, frankly, red zone percentages. 100% for the Patriots, 2 for 5 by the Steelers. This game has appeared close in score. It really wasn't.
Here's another thing. The Patriots only had 83 yards of offense in the first half.
And only three plays, I believe you said, in the first quarter.
Three plays in the first quarter.
After punting it away, I mean, the Steelers were sitting on the ball. Probably why they had almost twice as much time of possession.
Yeah, the Steelers, the first drive of the game was 5 minutes, 52 seconds. And then the next one was 7 minutes and 47 seconds. The Patriots had the ball for 1 minute 24 in the first quarter.
All right, well, that'll wrap it up for our featured portion. It's time to move into the study hall to study for the upcoming week's test. Although some of the scores for the term here are about to alter just a touch. Let's see, so how we do this week?
You and Weasel went 5-1. I went 4-2 again for 2 weeks in a row.
5-1.
Total, me and you are both tied, 2 games above Weasel.
Well, Chris, I'd like to remind you that this is the 2nd week in a row that you went against 2 great football minds.
Yeah, sometimes.
No, at least I didn't get screwed like the Dolphins last week.
See, but I can't. I'm thinking about that. You had the Dolphins and then you changed it.
No, I had Dolphins last week. You mean this week?
Or check that. Last week, I mean.
Last week I had Dolphins. You guys went with the Broncos.
Right.
The Dolphins,
you had the Broncos down at first and then you changed it.
No, I had the Fins and I was thinking about changing it back to the Broncos.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. Okay. But then, you know, after, gosh, what is it? 45-3? I don't know. I lost count after 45-3. Beat down of Tebow. Apparently, justice is being served on Tebow, as Ndamukong Suh will be seen as kind of a fancy connoisseur of food as he's dining on Tebow's steak.
45-10 was the final. They scored it late. You know, Mr. Fourth Quarter.
Right. So with that, let us head into next week's games with the two of us tied for first. Nice.
All right, first game, 1 o'clock, Fins at Chiefs.
Wow, this probably could get more awful, but I'm not sure exactly how. And as I'm a leader now, I got to go ahead and pick first. It sucks. I don't see the Chiefs having quite enough offense, but I don't see the Dolphins having quite enough offense either. I'll pick the Dolphins against my better judgment, and then all the Dolphins fans can complain that they're prevailing but then failing in the suck for luck campaign. Chris.
I got the Fins as well. It's the Chiefs. You know,
they're bad.
They've been coming up strong. I don't think the Chiefs can come back from behind, though.
Yeah, this isn't another this isn't another AFC West team.
Yeah, but that being said, I'll pick the Chiefs.
Any other reason? No, hold on. Is there a football reason for that, or are you just being a punk?
How's that being a punk?
Answer the question. Is there a football reason for that?
The Fins, they're going to find a way to lose.
Yeah.
Don't bail them out. Is there a football reason? No. I'm just trying to be strategic because I'm desperate and I'm not as good a football mind as Kyle and Chris.
It's just a football feeling.
Yeah, right. Next game.
Falcons at Colts.
Anybody? Right. Falcons.
A winless team against a team that's playing pretty good. Yeah. I'll have to go with the Falcons.
That's great.
Didn't work out for the Saints last week, though.
Bucks and Saints.
Ooh. Oof. This is kind of a big deal. I don't see the Saints doing bad again in succession like that. I'm going to get the Saints for that reason. Chris.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't think Saints 2 weeks in a row.
Weasel.
Not good Saints.
And Josh Freeman and the Bucks are going to get the win. Boom. Yeah.
This is going to be fun watching you be six games back by the end of these picks here. Anyways.
Well, he said last time the Bucks. Isn't this the second time the Bucks are playing against Saints?
That's correct.
Already this season?
Yeah.
Last time he said the Bucks always play against them pretty well, and the Bucks won, so.
Yeah, you.
I don't believe he picked the Bucks. He just said
I did. I was just saying
the Bucks that week.
Whatever.
Giants at Patriots.
Wow. See, what makes this tough is the Giants. You never know how the Giants are going to come out. For example, they could almost lose to the Dolphins. And then, you know, beat a good team another week. I don't know that they have quite enough behind their D-line to stop everything that the Patriots have. I got the Patriots. Chris.
Yeah. Patriots are going to come out all pissed off how bad they played against the Steelers. I got the Patriots again. They're just giant secondaries. Not all that great.
Mm-hmm. Weasel.
Because they're at home, the Patriots.
So you're only playing for the tie. Got it. Next game.
Ain't done.
Ravens at Steelers.
Ooh. Chris.
Preseason, I pick. They're splitting the games.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens win first one at home. Steelers win this one because they're at home.
Weasel.
I pick the Steelers. I pick the Steelers.
That's the 8:20 game, by the way.
I believe that the Ravens are in their own head right now. I have no idea what it's going to take to get them out, but trying to find it against the Steelers is going to be rough. All the Steelers have to hope for is to like be pissed off enough to overcome that 35-7. I got the Steelers.
And Monday night game, Bears at Eagles.
Chris.
Bears coming off a bye. However, I got the Eagles on this. The Eagles have puttered out too much in the beginning of the season. They can't afford to putter out again.
The Bears need this game pretty badly, too, just to stay in the wild card race themselves. I'm not going to go quite on that. The Bears are in just as big a trouble, if not more, than the Eagles because they've got two amazing teams in their division as well. When I look at the breakdown, it's going to probably be Michael Vick versus Julius Peppers. Good old-fashioned matchup we used to see when the Panthers would play the Falcons. That was always fun to watch. Except this time, Peppers has a bit more help on defense. And oh, by the way, Matt Forte, kind of a big deal, while the Eagles can't stop no one. I'm going to get on Weasel's fiance's good side, but I got the Bears. Weasel.
Yeah, I'll get the Bears this game.
Homer.
Whatever.
That's it.
So we had quite a few different this week. Wow. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, Weasel's just trying to be contrarian and all that.
Contrarian.
Look that up. All right. So we'll go ahead and call this a pretty early episode because we only had six teams to cover unless you gentlemen have something you want to bring
next
up.
Next week we only have five.
So yeah, there you go. Hey, it's nearing the holidays, so it's a shorter week, I guess, or something. I got nothing. See you guys next week. Class dismissed.